أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. أحبتي في الله، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. This is Mamdouh Muhammad with a new topic under Traps of Iblis or the Deception of the Satan. This is a very essential topic for every Muslim and for every non-Muslim alike. However, we would find lots of people are ignoring the importance of dealing with the Satan and the existence of the Satan itself. In fact, let me start from the beginning. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created different creatures. We know some of them and we are not aware of some others. Some of the creatures are the human beings, mankind. Others are the jinn. Another type of creature is the angels. We have animals, insects, planets. We have different types of creatures that Allah created. Some of them we have some knowledge, accurate knowledge according or based upon the Quran and the Sunnah. Some others are not. And as we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored human beings and made them above the other creatures. The creature that I'm going to talk about today is considered a sincere enemy to human beings. He is defined as the Satan. His name is the Satan or Iblis. And perhaps the Satan, to the best of our knowledge, was the one who caused the first crime to happen in this universe, according to the best of our knowledge. When Almighty Allah asked him to prostrate, to bow to Adam alayhi salam as a sign of respect, he arrogantly said, "Should I bow to a creature that you created from mud and you created me out of fire?" Thinking, of course, incorrectly that fire is better than mud, forgetting that the command was given to him from Almighty Allah. However, he arrogantly rejected to bow to Almighty Allah. My topic today is about Iblis or the Satan. Some qualities that we know about the Satan were mentioned in the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One of these qualities is Al-Kibr, and there will be another whole lecture about Al-Kibr, which is arrogance. Another quality of the Shaytan and the Shayateen is he sees you from where you don't see him. So the Satan and his family and his offspring see human beings, however human beings do not see them. Again, one quality of this Satan is temptation. He tempts human beings. Another quality is that he always whispers to human beings. A third quality that had been mentioned in the Sunnah of the Prophet, that the Satan runs in your blood as the vein, as the blood runs through your veins. Another quality of Satan is that he decorates and beautifies things to human beings. And as we know, the nature of human beings, that he was created out of smokeless fire. One important quality that's very dangerous, that he usually commands human beings to do evil. And he always commands human beings to dare to say something about Allah without real or authentic knowledge. In fact, I am going to talk about the traps that the Satan makes for human beings, all human beings in general. And I'm not the first one to talk about this. In fact, a great scholar like Ibn al-Qayyim did a wonderful job by making his famous book that's called Ighathatul Lathan min Masayid al-Shaytan, where he put and he described exactly the six traps that the Satan sets for human beings. And today I am going to focus on these six traps, and I hope every listener and me myself and every Muslim or even every non-Muslim would pay really an attentive ear to what we are going to hear, because this is something that threats every human being. Let me start from the beginning of the creation, as we have been told by Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that every human being, when he or she was born, he or she was born on fitrah. That means that having Islam as a second nature, or in other modern language, that he or she is formatted to worship Allah and to follow the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every human being, no exception. The hadith says, كل مولود يولد على الفطرة فأبواه يهودانه أو ينصرانه أو يمجسانه, which means every human being is born on fitrah, the fitrah, the nature of Islam in his heart and in his mind. But it is his family, it is his parents, it is his environment, it is the school, it is the media, it is the whole community that affects him. Basically, the parents in the beginning, and after that, all the other factors would either change him into a Jewish person or a Christian person or a pagan. In other words, every human being is born submitting to Almighty Allah and knowing his way to Allah, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created him with this nature in his or her heart. And here comes the traps of the Satan. The traps of the Satan are as follows. I sum them up very easily. I will start with the most important, the hierarchy of the most important to the least important. The first one is a shirk, or associating something, someone with Allah, or something with Allah. The second one is bid'ah, innovation in the religion. The third one is major sins. The fourth one is the minor sin. And sin, or the trap number five, is the least important on the list, the most important. And the number six, trap number six, is non-essentials, tafahat al-umur. I'll explain them in brief, and we'll discuss them and see, generally speaking, who is the main target of every trap. And finally, we will try to get some qualities of the Satan from these traps. And finally, we will talk briefly about the cure and the remedy on how to fight the Satan. The first trap is a shirk, associating someone with Almighty Allah. As the hadith explained it, that every human being was born a Muslim and having Islam and being submissive and obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Satan leaves the human being until he becomes at the age of puberty, or to be starting to be adult, where he or she really is in a situation where they need to take a decision, either to continue worshipping Allah or associating someone else with Allah. Of course, when they are children, their deeds are not do not count. The whatever decision they have, they are not fully responsible for it. However, when they become adults and mature, here this responsibility comes to them, and the decision becomes very decisive. And here, where the Satan comes, the Satan tries the most important trap, which is making human being associate someone else in their worship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some people, as we know in other religions, that they worship Allah and at the same time they associate a son to him, or they associate a wife to him, or they associate an idol with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we know that the Arabs used to say that we worship seven idols, six on the earth and one in the heaven. And when they were asked, if you worship one in the heaven, why do you need the sixth one? And their answer was simply as simple as this. And this was their logic. Because we are sinners, we cannot reach Allah by ourselves. So we need some sort of mediator or intermediary or someone in the middle between us and Allah. And in this way, they make these idols as a tool to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, this is one of the traps of the Satan, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not accept anyone to be his partner, even the angels, even the prophets and the messengers. So this is the biggest trap. Why the Satan focuses on this trap in particular, the huge trap? Because once a human being falls into this trap, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not forgive it. If the human being dies on this sin, which is the greatest sin, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can forgive all other sins except the sin of associating someone with him. And this is really a very straightforward message for those people who still worship idols, who still believe that God has a son, who still believe that God has a wife, and something similar to this. And of course it has many forms. The shirk has many forms. Some of them are clear and obvious, and some of them are called hidden, but this is not the time to talk about them. So the first trap is the trap of shirk. And from this we can discover, or we can talk about one quality of the Satan, which is he focuses on the big bite. Unlike human beings, we start from little and go to the top. The shaitan starts from the top. And if he succeeds with a human being, he's done with him, and the human being becomes a follower of the shaitan. If the Satan fails, he goes to a lower level, which is the level of bid'ah, or the trap of bid'ah. And unfortunately, some people became very sensitive to the word bid'ah, although the word bid'ah in itself, linguistically speaking, is a very nice word, because it talks about innovation and creativity. And what is meant in this hadith, of course, or by this term, al-bid'ah, it does not talk about bid'ah in worldly life at all. It specifies the bid'ah in issues of religion. When some people innovate, change, delete, add something to the religion, if they do this persistently and consciously, and they are fully aware of that, in fact, they are changing the religion. And of course, this is a direct contradiction with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمْ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in this verse, today, أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ, I completed the religion for you. وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي, and I completed and perfected the blessings upon you. وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمْ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا, and I accepted Islam as a religion for you. In other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that the religion is complete. So when we come to the issue of bid'ah, we notice that people are trying either to delete or to add to the religion. And this is a biggest challenge for them, because really they are challenging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or they are telling us, hey, you Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you forgot to tell us something that's good in the religion. You said something that was bad and we are trying to delete it. Or we are telling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the religion is incomplete and we are trying to fill in the blanks that were missed. And of course, this is a very dangerous area, because this is the area for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. So, but with regarding the issue of innovation in worldly life, all of us are very much encouraged to be problem solvers and to be inventors and to be innovators, to invent machines and to invent tools and to invent plans and processes. We are definitely encouraged to do this, but not in the issue of religion, because this is the area where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone is the one to legislate and to talk about religion. Of course, we're not talking about those people who are making bid'ahs unconsciously or out of ignorance. But here, we're talking about those people who insist on making bid'ahs out of knowledge. And let me elaborate on something here that's very important. The difference between the bid'ah and the major sins. A lot of people may think that doing major sins is more dangerous than bid'ah. On the contrary, when people make bid'ah, they think that they are doing something that would bring them closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they think that they are doing something good. That's why it's very difficult to change those mubtadi'ah, those who invent in the religion or innovate in the religion, because they think that they are doing something good. For example, those people who celebrate the birthday of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They think that they are doing something good. They do this out of love of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but they mix love and with ignorance. We know that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself did not celebrate that day. We know that the closest people to him, the companions radiallahu anhum, never ever celebrated this day. However, the Satan would come to people and try to decorate and to whisper some of his ideas in the minds of people, and they might see the idea is a very creative and beautiful idea. And in fact, there is indirect effect of some other cultures upon Islamic cultures or upon Muslims. And when Muslims saw them, they are celebrating the birthday of Jesus, peace be upon him, or celebrating the birthday of their kids. They imitated them and they got this habit and tradition, and they did not value it and they did not measure it and they didn't see whether it fits into Islam or it does not fit. And fortunately, they fall into the trap of the Satan. If we compare people who make bid'ah and people who make major sins, we observe that the people who make major sins, adultery, killing, disobeying parents, they know when they do this, they know that they are doing something bad. Nobody in the world loves to kill. So while they are doing this major sin, they know that they are guilty. And that's why they may give you a listening ear and they may listen to your advice. However, the people who make the bid'ah think that they are doing something good, and that's why they reject the advice and they become very stubborn. And here is the role of the Satan. If he succeeds with a human being to make a bid'ah, he goes up to a higher level, the higher level again, which is the trap of the shirk again. If he fails, he goes to a lower level, which is the major sins. But let me tell you something before I step into the third trap of the major sins. Regarding the issue of bid'ah, although all human beings are subject to this in general, however, leaders and important figures and scholars and authors and VIPs usually are the main subject of this trap. Why is this? The Satan, as we said, that one quality of the Satan is that he focuses on the big bite, something that if he does, lots of people will be deviated or will be astray. And that's why one of his targets is the leaders, the imams, the scholars, the shuyukh, because if one of them becomes a deviant, the followers becomes deviant, because usually the laymen and the followers, they don't have the knowledge to tell them that, to determine whether the herd is correct or incorrect. So the main target is the leaders and the VIPs and the shuyukh and the imams, And this is direct advice to all those people who have some impact and some effect on their followers. Now, let me move to the third trap, which is the major sins. Although we know how dangerous and how fatal these major sins are, like the sin of killing, like the sin of adultery, like the sin of drinking wine, like the sin of dealing with riba and others. However, the Satan is smart, using subtle ways to, as we mentioned before, to beautify these lusts and desires, to make the things look very beautiful. And if you ask people who made this sin, the major sin of adultery, the Satan would make the woman or the man in front of the person is very beautiful, more beautiful than realistically. And in this way, he attempts the human being to fall into this trap of major sins of adultery. And when the human being does it and approaches it, he realizes that it was not as beautiful as he imagined it to be. One of the other things in that falls under the major sins, of course, look at the issue of riba. How many people were involved in the issue of riba, and they dealt with riba, and they fell into this trap of the Satan of major sins. When you come to the issue of the Shaitan, as he addresses the lusts and the desires of human beings, he also addresses the whims of the human being and the ideas. He comes to a human being from his mind and from his intellect and would try to convince him and to beautify the idea. If you buy a house on mortgage, again, it is mortgage and not riba, and the Shaitan would beautify and change the word to convince the human being to fall into the trap. And this is one of his tricks and traps. And the human being starts to think, especially the educated ones, oh, this is right. It makes sense. Why should I rent a house for 20 years and I pay more than $200,000? At the same time, I can buy the house with this amount of money. It makes sense. Especially as you see that, it's not riba. It's called mortgage. So the Shaitan can trap those intellectuals, those who are well-educated from their minds because they think that they are smart, and they are smart, really, in some aspects of life. However, they are not smart in the issue of religion because they do not know. Allah knows better. Allahu A'lam. When we say Allahu A'lam, we say fully heartedly believing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best and He selects the best for us. This is one of the ways that the Shaitan does. Again, you know the rule. If the Shaitan succeeds in making a human being committing the major sin, right, he would take him up again to the higher level of bid'ah and then to higher level, which is the shirk. If he fails, he would go from shirk to bid'ah, from bid'ah to major sins, and from major sins to minor sins. Minor sins is a very important trap for even good people, because when they look at the minor sins, they see it's something minute and tiny and small, and they forget that it accumulates day after day, week after week, month after a month. Look at the issue. Look at any pond or any lake in the whole world, and you find it started with drops of water or drops of rain. Rain, drop after drop, drop after drop, then it becomes a pond. The same thing happens with minor sins. When a human being commits a minor sin, he doesn't see that it is something of great importance. It's just a look at a woman. It's just a small backbite, or sometimes they call it white lie, and they give it different names, yeah? And this is, again, when we talk about the Satan, this is a very important lesson. The Satan takes two forms, the form of jinn, the unseen creature, and the form of mankind. So the Satan can be from jinn and can be from human beings who whisper, who initiate, who gives ideas to other people. And remember, and probably this is not a coincidence, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ended the Quran with these two words, من الجنة والناس. قل أعوذ برب الناس ملك الناس إله الناس من شر الوسواس الخناس. The Satan الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس. The last two words in the Quran, they warn us against the Satan, who might be of jinn quality or of human being quality. And in fact, we are deceived by human beings more than we are deceived by the real jinn, because we think that those human beings sometimes are good people when they suggest their and they inject their ideas. So if the Satan again succeeds in making a human being commit minor sins, after doing these minor sins and you become accustomed to them and they become part of your life, you go easily and the transition becomes very natural to go back again to major sins and again to the bid'ah trap and again to shirk trap. But if he fails, he goes to a lower trap than the minor sins, which is the least important than the most important. Again, this would be focused to the people who are really good religious people. I'll give you two commonly used examples to make this idea important and clear and sharp in your mind. We go to mosques usually, especially in Ramadan, and you all of us agree that in Ramadan the mosques become full. And just after Ramadan, by 2 days, you'll find the mosques are not full. It's something really good quality of Muslims that they are seeking forgiveness and they are seeking rewards from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And some of them come to make Salat Taraweeh, regardless whether it's 20 or 8 or even more than this or less than this. But the issue is, you find people coming to do Salat Taraweeh, which is a sunnah, and in the morning, they might not come to Salat al-Subh, which is a fard, an obligation. So the Satan would deceive people. Go ahead, do your best, save your time, invest your time, and come to Salat al-Taraweeh in Ramadan, and forget about Salat al-Sunnah, and forget about Salat al-Fard, whether it's Salat al-Isha or Salat al-Subh. No, this is again one of the traps of the Satan. He makes you be convinced of the least important, which is halal and something rewarded, than the most important. And we know the best way to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is by doing the fara'id. It's not by doing the sunan. Allah will not ask you about the sunan first. The first question will be about the fara'id, the five prayers, the five obligatory prayers first, and then comes after that the sunnah. The Satan makes you think in a different way. And this is again is addressed to the elite of the elite of the elite Muslims. And so each one of us should guard against this. Another flagrant example of this is the issue of praying two rak'ahs in al-Masjid al-Haram. As we know that the only place in the whole world that you get the reward of 100 prayers elsewhere when we do two rak'ahs in al-Masjid al-Haram. Wow. 100,000 prayers elsewhere. So if you go there and you just make a couple of faridas there, they would equal how many faridas that you do elsewhere in the world. And this is a very important issue when we go to Mecca al-Masjid al-Haram. However, when we go there, we start doing the first prayer. Just after and before the end of the prayer, you find the shaitan coming to us, whispering to us, either as in a form of a human being or in a form of a real jinn. Oh, you forgot to bring the wonderful gift for your daughter or for your spouse, for your wife, for your husband. And you start thinking of all the people that you knew. Oh, so you finish the two prayers, you go to the mall, you spend an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours trying to get these gifts, which there is nothing wrong with that. In fact, this is something very much recommended. But not at that time and not at that place. You went there to get the maximum amount of rewards that you can get. You can get all these gifts from anywhere else. You can get them from Jeddah. You can get them from Washington. You can get them from London. Because in these places you cannot get the rewards that were promised to us if we do the prayer in the Al-Masjid Al-Haram. This is again a very subtle trap, and lots of very good people, men and women at the same time, they are trapped by this. And in fact, it happened with me. I always observe it, and when I have some company and I try to warn them, and one of them, alhamdulillah, was a scholar, and he was deceived by that, and he was about to go out, and I reminded him of these traps, and alhamdulillah, he remembered. And this is our role as Muslims, to remind each other, because this is one of the ways to fight the Satan, as I'm going to mention. The last trap of the Shaitan here is the non-essentials. The non-essentials. The Shaitan, if he fails to make us pay attention to the least important, he would direct our attention to the non-essential things. Give me you hundreds of examples. If you ask ourselves how much time we spend reading the newspaper, 20 pages, 30 pages, all pages about sports and artists and something that's very trivial, and how much time we spend on the Quran and the Hadith every day, all of us know the answer. And this is one, how much time we spend on making phone calls with people, which is sometimes it's very essential, but you start with the most important thing in 1 minute, and you spend 15 minutes talking about nonsense. And all of us are deceived, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from this. So this is another area where the Satan deceives and traps human beings. These are the six traps. Let me sum them up again. The first one is the trap of shirk, associating someone with Allah. Second one is innovation, bid'ah in the religion. The third one is committing major sins. The fourth one is committing minor sins. The fifth one is paying attention to the unimportant or to the least important than the most important. And finally, doing the non-essentials and thinking that they are necessary. Hundreds of people would spend their lifetime answering crossword puzzles, having all these silly questions. What is the name of the dog of Charles II in year 1800 or 1700? What is the use of such knowledge? What would happen if you die without knowing all these answers in the crossword puzzle? Allah will never ask you about the name of the gate or the name of the cat or the name of the door or the name of the whatever was owned by this person or that person. Even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not ask you about the name of the camel of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But again, as I said, the Satan sometimes seems to be smart in the minds of those people. Let me now sum up some of the traps of the Satan that he focuses on the biggest bite. He doesn't start with the small things. He starts with the biggest thing because he wants to save his time. Secondly, he is very persistent. He insists on doing this. He's never lazy doing his job. Thirdly, he knows the nature of human beings, and he tries to address these weaknesses of human beings. Now, let me now get into the issue of how to prepare ourselves to fight our enemy. Now we knew a lot of knowledge about our enemy, the Satan, and if you know some knowledge, this is something very important. So the first thing is to get as much knowledge about the Satan and how to get ready for it. This is the way to be treated or to get ready for fighting the Satan, to know about him. The second thing is you all the time make isti'adha, seek refuge with Allah. You see, I'll just remind you the thing that saved Yusuf alayhi salam from making this great sin of adultery. was when he remembered and he said, Ma'ad Allah, I seek refuge in Allah from the Satan and his traps. So keep this statement in your heart and on your tongue, saying, Ma'ad Allah, I seek refuge in Allah, I seek refuge in Allah. Don't think that you can fight the Satan by yourself. No, you need the support of Almighty Allah. Secondly, make your tongue wet with the mention of the name of Allah. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, وَمَنْ يَعْشُ عَنْ ذِكْرِ الرَّحْمَانِ نُقَيِّدْ لَهُ شَيْطَانًا فَهُوَ لَهُ قَرِينٌ. Whoever ignores, whoever becomes heedless, whoever intentionally disregards the mention of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that we will assign a companion, a Satan companion for him, and he will become his companion wherever he goes or she goes. So mentioning the name of Allah will kick out the Satan from your way. Thirdly, is holding your tongue, especially when you talk about Allah. Whenever you want to say something about Allah, be sure that you say something authentic, because this is one of the traps of the Satan, that he whispers to you, he makes you to be a daring person to say something about Allah, something that you do not know, you don't have knowledge of. And we see that lots of the priests and rabbis and religious people, they start talking about God of something that has never been attributed to Allah. The last thing, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ فَاتَّخِذُوهُ عَدُوًا. Verily, indeed, the Satan is an enemy for you, so take him or deal with him as an enemy. And how can we deal with the Satan as an enemy? By trying to invite people, the people who follow the Satan, to be the followers of Allah. And by doing this, the Satan will take you as an enemy, and you will take him as an enemy. When you try to save some of those people who deviated, Muslims they are or non-Muslims, to try to save them from the path of the Shaitan and to take them to the path of Ar-Rahman, and this can be done by very well organized da'wah. When you start making da'wah and you bringing people to the fold of Islam, when you change people from evil ones to become good ones, you are fighting the enemy, and you are decreasing the number of his followers. These are some of the tactics and some of the strategies that might help us deal with the Satan. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to kick us, to help us kick out the Satan from our way. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those who mention Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and keep mentioning him in order to keep the Satan away from us. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to invent and to innovate many ways of making da'wahs to non-Muslims and Muslims alike to save people from hellfire. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.